Good morning. This is Precept Bible Study. We're studying in the book of Hebrews from Rolling Springs Baptist Church. And now we are in Hebrews Part 2. And our study today is in Chapter 9. And it's Lesson 6. So, today, as we look at our study, we're going to be going back to the Old Testament and looking at the tabernacle because that's what the Hebrew writer or the writer of Hebrews is saying in the letter that he is sending to these Hebrew Christians and to us today. And in order to understand this chapter and the previous chapter and the following chapters, all the context, we need to go back and look and see and study about the tabernacle. Now, last week's study was about the covenant, and we studied about the old and the new. And today, in studying in this chapter 9, we're looking at the tabernacle, which is a part of the covenant that he is speaking of or has spoken to them about. So let us begin our study today in prayer. Father, we just ask, Father, to feel your very presence as we begin to study. We want to come before you, Father, humbly, and we ask you, Father, to teach us your precious word. And we know, Father, that we can only learn through your Holy Spirit. And we're so thankful that when Jesus died for us, that he gave us a helper, the Holy Spirit. And as we look at your word, Father, we just praise you and give you all the glory and honor for what is written in your word. And just guide us now today as we study together your precious word. And we ask it all in the name of Jesus. Let's look back a little bit and review so that we can get the full picture of what the writer of Hebrews is saying. We know that it's a letter that was written to Jewish believers in Jesus. It was all about Christ as the Messiah. And they were going through a lot of trials and tribulations. And so the writer of Hebrews, he knew that they needed exhortation. They needed encouragement. So this is why that he has written to them and to us today. Now, in the first four chapters, we learned that God spoke in his Son. And also we learned that Jesus is better than the angels. And the word said that we were to listen to Jesus, to hear his voice, and not harden our hearts in unbelief. And then as we continued in Hebrews 5 through 10, 18, we learned that Jesus, the Son, is our great high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek. And he encouraged these Hebrew Christians, and he's encouraging us today to press on to maturity, to press on to come to know more about Jesus every day as we walk upon this earth. And he taught us in those verses that Jesus is a better priest that he is a better covenant, that he brings a better tabernacle, a better sacrifice offering, because he went to the cross for us, and that sacrifice was to save us forever. Now, I want us to read in the book of Hebrews, going back to the 8th chapter, the first 5 verses, because in these verses, the writer tells us the main point in what he has said already. And I'll start in verse 1 and read through verse 5. Now, the main point in what has been said is this. We have such a high priest who has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister in the sanctuary and in the true tabernacle, which the Lord set up, not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. So it is necessary that the high priest also have something to offer. Now, if he were on earth, he would not be a priest at all, since there are those who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve a copy and shadow of the heavenly things, just as Moses was warned by God when he was about to erect the tabernacle. This is what was quoted. For see, he says, that you make all things by the pattern which was shown to you on the mountain. Now, looking at these verses, he points out that the main point that he has written this letter is to let them know that they have a high priest that has taken his seat at the right hand of God in the heavens. And he is a minister in the sanctuary and the true tabernacle, which the Lord set up, and it wasn't set up by man. And we know that every high priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices. So it was necessary that this high priest, Jesus, also had something to offer. Now, we know, according to the law, that the things that were offered were just temporary, but they were serving as a copy and a shadow of heavenly things, just as Moses warned the people by God. He said to them that you make all things by the pattern which was shown to you on the mountain. So we need to look at that word pattern. What does pattern mean? What is the meaning of a pattern? Pattern in the Greek is a model after which something is made, and it's a type that represents the real thing. So when God called Moses and he told them to build this tabernacle, to set up this sanctuary, he told Moses to carry it out by the pattern that he was going to give him. And that pattern represented a type of the real thing, and that was a foreshadow of Jesus, the pattern of the tabernacle. And that's what we're going to study about today, looking at the tabernacle. I want us to read first in Hebrews chapter 9. That's where our lesson is pointing today, verses 1 through 5. Now, I'll begin and read these five verses. Now, even the first covenant had regulations for divine worship and the earthly sanctuary, for a tabernacle was equipped, the outer sanctuary, in which were the lampstand, the table, and the sacred bread. This is called the holy place. And behind the second veil, there was a tabernacle, which is called the holy place, having a golden altar of incense, and the ark of the covenant covered on all sides with gold, in which was a golden jar holding the manna, Aaron's staff which budded, and the tablets of the covenant. And above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the atoning cover. But about these things we cannot now speak in detail. So, we're looking now at what the scripture tells us, what this Hebrew writer, this one that's writing Hebrews, is explaining about the tabernacle. He lets us know that the true tabernacle is in heaven, and it was made by God and not man. So, Moses created the earthly tabernacle according to the pattern that God gave him on Mount Sinai. It was a copy and a shadow of the heavenly things. So, let's look back now at Exodus and see what was given to Moses by the Lord when he spoke to him. Looking at Exodus chapter 25, 1 through 9. And then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Tell the sons of Israel to make a contribution for me from everyone whose heart moves him. You shall take my contribution. This is the contribution which you are to take from them: gold, silver, and bronze, violet, purple, and scarlet material, fine linen, goat hair, ram skins, dyed red, fine leather, acacia wood, oil for lighting, balsam of oil for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, onyx stones and setting stones for the ephod and for the breastplate piece. Have them construct a sanctuary for me so that I may dwell among them according to all that I am going to show you as the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furniture, so you shall construct it." So, back in the Old Testament, God had a plan. And in that plan, He had the plan for all of Israel and mankind to have a tabernacle where they would worship Him. And here we see that in the beginning, how that it came about. If you remember, as the people were led out of Egypt under the bondage of Pharaoh, before they left, they had asked, or Moses had asked, that the people be given a jewelry and gold and fine linens. As they left, you have to go back to Genesis and read that so that you can see this is where they were able to do the contribution. This is how that God had it planned from the beginning. And He knew what He was going to let the people use of these jewels and gold, for it was in his plan before the beginning of time. And even the violet and purple and scarlet materials and fine linens, all of this was in his plan to build the tabernacle, because God had a plan and a pattern, and he gave this, we see here in Exodus 25, to Moses, and told him exactly everything that he was to do to set up the tabernacle. Now, what was the tabernacle for? What was the purpose of the tabernacle? It was to be the dwelling place of God himself. And we'll study that as we go further in our study on the tabernacle. And he said, Set this up, Moses, according to all that I'm going to show you as the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of its furniture, and you shall construct it. So, as we look at this, we're going to see that God, in his great sovereignty, had this set up from the very beginning. And he tells Moses everything that he is to do. So, I have here an outline of everything that God spoke to Moses and told him. He said that he was to measure and make the tabernacle a certain length and a certain width, and every part of it was to be constructed by the figures that God gave to Moses. So, first of all, he told him to measure off the outer court. And so that was an entrance for the people. And it was the gate facing the east side. And then in that outer court, there was to be a bronze altar. And as they entered in the court, they came to that altar for sacrifices. And he gave him the measurement that would be approximately 4.5 feet above the ground. And then there was the bronze laver. And this laver was a place where the priest washed from the water. It was a large basin. And also sacrifices were washed there. And then the next thing was the holy place. And this was covered by the tent. Both the holy place and the holy of holies were in the tent. And there was only one door leading from the court into the tent. And it was a cubit, or a cube, 10 by 10 by 10, about, in other words, 15 feet. And the priest entered daily to perform their duties. Remember, there were several priests, and they all had duties to perform. That's what the priests were for, to carry out the duties that were needed in the tabernacle. And there was 3 articles of furniture in that place. There was a table that was on the north side of the tabernacle, and it was about 27 inches high and 18 inches wide and 3 feet long. And the priest would put 12 loaves of bread on the table every Sabbath, and they ate the old bread. They took the old bread off and put fresh loaves on the table every Sabbath. And the old bread that was for the priests, for them to eat. And then there was a candlestick or a lampstand. It was called a lampstand. And this light for the outside of the tabernacle was on the opposite side of the table. And this lampstand was gold, as also were the other furniture pieces. And the priest kept oil in the seven lamps on the stand, burning day and night. And then there was an altar of incense. And this gold altar stood in right in front of the veil into the Holy of Holies. And it was about 3 feet high. And the priests burned special incense on it twice a day. And then we come to the veil. Now, the veil, this was the way into the Holy of Holies. Hebrews 9:3 calls it the second veil, as the door was more like a veil than an actual door. And the high priest, only the very high priest, could go behind the veil, and he only went behind the veil once a year on the Day of Atonement. And there was the Holy of Holies. And the only thing that was here in this part of the tent was the Ark of the Covenant. And it contained Ten Commandments. It contained the manna, and it contained the rod of Aaron that bloomed. So the ark was about 4.5 feet long, 27 inches long, and 27 inches high. And over the ark were two gold cherubim attached to the top of the ark, which was the mercy seat. And it was above the mercy seat and between the cherubim where God's cloud rested or moved from. So the glory of God would come and rest here upon that mercy seat. Now, when we look at all of this, we learned earlier that all of this temple that was carried out by Moses was to be a pattern. And that pattern was to be a foreshadow of the real thing. And that real thing was Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So, as we read in Hebrews 8:5, we learned that it said that these things served a copy and shadow of heavenly things. So, we want to look at this now, going back to each and everything that we have scene that's in the tabernacle here that Moses has set up according to the pattern. We want to see and look at this tabernacle and see how that it represents Jesus. That's what we want to see in this, because he is the real tabernacle. Looking first, let's look at the bronze laver. We know that believers are cleansed or sanctified by the washing of water with God's word. So this bronze laver In the real pattern, not just the pattern, but in the real theme, it is referring to the washing of water with God's Word, and we can only be washed of our sins as we hear the Word of God and are convicted by that Word. So that's what the bronze laver would represent. And then looking at the door of the tabernacle, Jesus said in John 10, verse 9, "I am the door. Enter through him alone for salvation." So here we can see that Jesus himself is the door to the tabernacle. That's what the door here in this earthly tabernacle represents. And then you look at the bread. Remember the bread that was on the table, the 12 loaves of bread. The 12 represented the 12 tribes of Israel. But they represented in the heavenly realm Jesus, because Jesus said in John 6, verse 48, "I am the bread of life, eternal life of salvation." So here we see that the bread in this earthly tabernacle represented the real thing, Jesus. He is the bread of life. Now let's look at the lampstand. Jesus said in John 8, 12, and in 9, 5, "I am the light of the world." So here we see that this lampstand is representing Jesus, because he is the light of the world. And as we go on further now into the tabernacle, the earthly tabernacle, we're going to compare the altar of incense. Now, this altar of incense also represents something, and we'll see that in Revelation 5, verse 8, and I'll read that scripture. "When he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls of incense, which are the prayers of the saints." So here we see that this earthly tabernacle and the altar of incense, that it represents the prayers of the saints. In Matthew 27, verse 51, we see that as we go forward here, that it talks about in Hebrews 10, let me go back just a minute to the altar of incense, because we want to see how that when in heaven, in that fifth chapter of Revelation, no one was worthy to take the seal and to open the seal, but there was a Lamb, and he was the only one, and that Lamb was God, was Jesus himself. And in Revelation it says, when he, Jesus, had taken the scroll, he was able to open, and the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. They fell down before Jesus. And each one had a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. So we learn here how that this altar of incense is a representation of the prayers of the saints. And that's what the scripture is telling us here. Now let's look at the veil. Hebrews 10 verse 20 says that the way believers come into God's presence is through the flesh, the cross of Jesus. The only way that we can come into His presence is through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So, Jesus' death and resurrection made the way for us to come to God, to draw near, to come to Him before the throne of grace. So, we know that the barrier between God and man was removed when Jesus died on the cross. Let's read Matthew 27, verses 51 and 53. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. Also, the tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after His resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. So, here we see that through His death, the veil was torn. That veil in the temple represents Jesus on the cross, His body. He was the sacrifice, and His body is that veil, and it was torn. Here it says from top to bottom, and that made a way for us to come to God. Now, let's go in through the Holy of Holies and look at the Ark and the Mercy Seat. Looking back into Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, we learn about the presence of God. Let me read these verses. God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and many ways, in these days has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom He also made the world. And He is the radiance of His glory and the exact representation of His nature, and upholds all things by the word of His power. When He had made purification of sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. So, we see here that the very presence of God was above the ark, and that was the earthly ark. But now, we see that Jesus is in the presence of God. He is seated at His right hand. The scripture says He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. So, He is at the mercy seat. He is the one that brought about our salvation. And it was through His death, burial, and resurrection that God had mercy upon us as sinners to purify us through His blood that we might have everlasting life. He paid the price for sins, and His blood offers forgiveness and mercy. So, as we are looking now at all of this, we can see the pattern in the tabernacle that was made by God through Moses. He gave him the exact pattern, and that pattern was a foreshadow of Jesus Himself, the real tabernacle. And we now have a great high priest that is seated at the right side of the Father, and he is our great high priest. He makes intercession for us, for our sins, for our pleas, for our testings, for our trials. He is the one that goes before the Father all the time for us and makes intercession for us. So we will continue our study next week. As we go further, we will still be studying in chapter 9, but our study is about our conscience. The heading of next week's lesson is, Do You Have a Conscience Free from Sin? And we will study then here about our own conscience. And that's what he is speaking to these that he is writing to, the Hebrew believers, and he's speaking to us today. So we'll end our lesson today in prayer. Father, we do ask you, Father, to teach us that we may see the full picture of your word, to see not the foreshadow, not the pattern, but we want to see the real tabernacle, which is Jesus, our great high priest. And we know, Father, that through your word and through the Holy Spirit, that you will give us understanding. But Father, it's so great, it's so deep, it's so wonderful. It's beyond our comprehension. But we just praise you and thank you for your word, for your Holy Spirit that dwells in us, that teaches us and guides us. And my prayer is that each and every one of us that are listening and that are studying your word will just grow closer to you when we see and realize what a great and mighty God, Almighty God, that you are. And we ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen.